Hey, everybody, it's Mike. Good to talk with you. I have just started on a new network with Carefree Highway Revisited, and it is called the FM Podcast Network. It's the home to a number of other podcasts about music, notably about Bob Dylan. Rob Kelly, who does the Pod Dylan podcast, is on that network. What that means is that what you will be hearing tonight will be the free version of the podcast. There is a fuller version you are absolutely welcome to listen to once you become a subscribing member to the FM podcast. And the way I like to think of it is like Netflix. You pay a monthly subscription and you get a whole bunch of different podcasts. So it's not just me you'd be listening to. You'd be listening to other shows about folk music and other things that I think are really, really cool. So if you enjoy this, please consider becoming a full member and listening to the rest of what I have to say to my guest. And I hope you continue listening. It's just time for me to move into a new phase of my podcasting career, and FM has been the route that I've chosen to take. Okay, I'll see you all along the Carefree Highway. On with the show.
The first guest of the evening is truly a poet. He's an artist. He is a friend and an inspiration to anyone who I think who has ever played the guitar or tried to write poetry. Would you please welcome Gordon Lightfoot?
The dead leaves of autumn that cling so desperately must fly before the cold October winds. Their simple lives have ended. Must they be born to die again? This is Carefree Highway Revisited, the show that celebrates Gordon Lightfoot's music song by song, a proud member of the FM Podcast Network. I'm your host, Mike Messner, and with me today is a fellow Lightfoot fan making his return to the show from Marysville, Tennessee, and a musician in his own right, Will Krueger. Will, welcome back to Carefree Highway Revisited.
Well, it's great to be back, Michael. So good to see you again.
Good to see you. The pleasure is ours. I do want to find out a little bit later about what you've been up to, because I know there's some new developments in your musical career. But for today, we're going to be looking at the song Peaceful Waters, which is at the very end of Lightfoot's debut album back in 1966. And I want to know, why did you choose this one to talk about? It's a fairly obscure song. Why do you like it so much?
Well, you know, that particular album, and I believe it was the very first album, Gordon Lightfoot album I bought, and probably because Early Morning Rain and Peter, Paul, and Mary, and, you know, how I got introduced to Gordon. But there were so many great songs, 16 Miles to Seven Lakes, Way Up Among the Pines. But I think it was the way that song started out. It actually started out as one song, and then it transformed almost into an entirely different song. And to me, that was very compelling. And the message, I think, even to this day, is very compelling.
You know, you mentioned the message, and I'm having a little bit of trouble with the message, frankly. And so that's something I know we'll talk about.
Yeah.
But I think for me, I like it because the imagery is so stark in the lyrics. I mean, there's not a word wasted. He was very economical when he wrote this song. And the message, if there is a single message, I think it's a good one. I kind of think there are two messages being sent. They're not necessarily conflicting messages, but I think there's a couple of different things going on. Do you have any anecdotal material about the song or incidents where it played a particular role in your life?
So that's a very profound question, Michael.
Well, then give me a profound answer,
that's
Will.
Smart. No. Anyway, I would say I like the way the riff was. And as I started learning that song, and I don't do it exactly like Gordon, but I do it similarly to that. I think just the time, that would have been, what, 69? When did that album come out?
66.
66. Okay, well then, that was the beginning of the Vietnam War, and I think there was a lot of that messaging going on in the folk music genre at the time. And I think Gordon probably wrote it keeping that in mind. Paul Simon started writing those kinds of songs, all about the civil rights movement, all that was going on. And I think it was a timely song. But as I had mentioned before, I think it's just as valid today as it was then. It's just a really interesting melody. And I always like a good melody, and that song has all those attributes.
I hear what you're saying, and it's an apt comparison between Simon and Dylan and Lightfoot. And certainly Dylan and Lightfoot had a rapport with each other and considered each other friends. I don't know if Simon had the same relationship, the same dynamic with Lightfoot. I think for me, the best setting, and I want to hear your take on this, but the best setting for me would be probably in the autumn when you do see these leaves dying and falling and blowing away or floating away.
And what a great comparison to life in general. I mean, that's the way he's kind of emphasizing changes that are going on, don't you think?
I do, although I have to be very honest that there's another song on that same album called Changes, and I think it does an even better job than this one does. It was written by Phil Oakes, and it's far and away his best song.
Phil by my side, come as close as you are. I remember that.
Yeah, Phil is another one that's not with us anymore, unfortunately, but that's a beautiful one, and clearly Lightfoot appreciated the sentiment. But again, for me, stationary rather than moving. So I couldn't listen to the song while I was driving and really have the same punch to it that it would if I was standing still or sitting still. Maybe right in my backyard, either at the very end of summer before school has started or in the first couple of weeks of school when we haven't had the fall equinox yet, but you know that summer is almost over.
Right.
That would be the soundtrack for that particular moment for me. Where and what would be the situation where that song would be the soundtrack for you?
You know, all I could say, that it was a long time ago. You're talking about when I just started playing guitar, which is actually around that same time. I started playing guitar in 1965. And of course, I wasn't that versed into those kinds of things. I was probably playing the big hit at the time was King of the Road. Okay.
Yeah. Roger Miller. Sure.
I think later on the song just affected me. When I would sing it to an audience, it just had a good message. It had a good feel. May peace and joy for all mankind. It starts out with the dead leaves of autumn, and then it ends up with kind of an uplifting message at the end. Don't you think?
Well, I do, but I also, when we get into the lyrics in a few minutes, I'll talk about why I think there's two different messages going on. You can help me understand the bridge between the two of them. The thing that I find mysterious about this song is that there's really not very much known about what was going on with him when he wrote this. Clearly, he's getting ready for his first album. I understand that. But this is not a song that he's writing because, well, I've got to just fill out the album, so I'll just throw this together. It was, you know, at the very tail end of the record. So it wasn't single material. He never went on record about what inspired him to write it or what was going on at the time. We can probably imagine that he was being contemplative about the changing of the seasons. Do you have an angle on what was going on in his mind or his life when he wrote this?
No idea whatsoever. No, that's probably not the answer you wanted. And I mentioned this the last time we talked. When it comes to songwriting, you don't necessarily have to have something in mind. You may have an end message that you're trying to get to, but a lot of the lyrics have to fit whatever your melody line is. And sometimes you throw out lyrics that fit. Was it Paul McCartney's Yesterday started out as Scrambled Eggs? It just has to fit in that. So I have no idea what was going on at the time, what he was thinking. He was just the preface to a really good songwriting career.
Well, not only that, but I mean, he's always had a deep appreciation for nature. And you think about Pussy Willows and Cattails and that kind of thing where he's contemplating nature. There are many other songs. That's just the one that comes to mind right now. And so this is consistent with what was going on. So I think we'll never know, but I think it's logical to assume that he's seeing the changing of the seasons from wherever he was. And yes, he's trying to fill in things based on the melody, and songwriting being a very particular form of writing where it has to be just so if it's going to make any musical sense, then it would make sense that he had that kind of structure.
So he starts out as a, you can hear that, it's kind of a minor-y. He's just got a very nice, and he's got a minor. Your simple life has ended. And then it goes into a major chord. And that's what I think intrigued me about the song, how it's two different songs. And early on, it taught me how to be a little bit more expressive in my songwriting and not just stay in the box, you know. And nobody will say that Gordon Lightfoot's writing ever stayed in the box.
Oh, goodness, no. You know, we made a connection with Paul Simon and Dylan a little while ago, and there's another songwriter that had this same ability to take two songs that don't apparently seem to go together.
Right.
And that was Jim Croce. And Time in a Bottle and These Dreams, they start in this minor progression, and then it goes into the major key. It goes from D minor to D major. So you're going from one flat to two sharps, and then it goes back. And some people will say, okay, well, each one of them are two different songs, and they are, but it takes someone who really knows what he's doing to knit those two together really well. And it's appropriate that Croce wanted to be the American Lightfoot.
Interesting. That's an interesting concept. I never thought about that. But yeah, at that time, everybody was kind of imitating each other to what was popular. So Gordon was probably coming up. He's looking to be sellable. He wants to get his music out there and be marketable. So he's adapting what's going on with the changes of the times. If you don't mind, I'll go back to Paul Simon. I mean, Paul Simon's career spanned 50 years. He was doing bebop in the 50s. Folk rock in the 60s. Then he changed in the 70s. In the 80s, he had Graceland. And now he's just come out. He's, what, in his 80s now, and he just came out with some new song that's entirely different type of music that he did when he was in the 60s. I know from the movie, If You Could Read My Mind, the documentary, they talked a lot about the research. When he sat down to do a song, he studied things and he researched, and he had a really good musical background that he could adapt to do the kinds of things that he did. It was genius, or as Brian Wilson says, maybe not genius, but being very clever.
Yeah, that's kind of a distinction without a difference there. But yeah, I certainly hear what you're saying about that. Well, let's get into the lyrics now a little bit. The dead leaves of autumn that cling so desperately, and this is right out of Robert Frost. I mean, I have this image of the leaves with the dead or the dying stems. They're being blown by the wind. Maybe they're still hanging on, but you know it's only a matter of time before they fall off the tree or they're blown off the tree. And there's a phrase in some of the original Robin Hood stories, so passed the seasons then, so they pass now, and so they will pass in time to come, while we come and go like leaves of a tree that fall and are soon forgotten.
Wow.
And so that was what was kind of stirred up with me when I did that. Must fly before the cold October winds. Their simple lives have ended. Must they be born to die again? And this is part of the cycles of nature. You and I have lived through enough of this to know that fall is always going to follow summer and winter will always follow fall, et cetera, et cetera. But the tone is almost unnecessarily sad right here.
Interesting. You know, I got to add, Michael, I enjoy unpacking these songs, and that's one of the reasons I enjoy your podcast, because you do kind of really get into the lyrics. And even though I've sung this probably, you know, 100 times, I'm going to sing it next time with a little bit more understanding of what I'm singing about. So I appreciate that. If you think about those, it's five lines. And in those five lines, he says so much about life and death in there. And then now it comes around, it's just one verse, and now it comes around to the chorus. And in the chorus, it's uplifting. Oh, may the light of freedom shine for all the world to see.
Yes, and I'm almost there, because that where he shifts ideas is where I kind of lose my way with this song. But leaves are leaves. They don't have more than one life. And I don't think Gordon's making a deep ecological statement here.
No,
I mean, obviously, he's a nature lover, but he's not saying something, well, respect Mother Earth. It's much more spiritual than that. But then he does go to, oh, may the light of freedom shine for all the world to see, and peace and joy to all mankind through all the years to be. Beautiful statement.
Yes.
What does it have to do with leaves? I mean, that's the thing that I don't get about this. If it's a statement about how short life is and that we need to find a place of peace and freedom during those short lives, that's fine. What does it have to do with dying leaves? That's where I got lost, and that's where I need your help. Well, that's all the time we have for here in the public feed. If you'd like to hear the rest of this conversation, along with all of our other extended and bonus episodes, become an FM Plus subscriber. Sign up in Apple Podcasts or at fmpods.com. You can see the show notes for details.